We begin the current daven Maseftas Bechoris daven on Zayin. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Yavit, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we had related to qualifying the halacha of a previous Mishnah, which spoke about brothers that separated the inheritance, then got back partners again. So he said, then they lose that halacha of Tfisas Abayis, then they're considered like partners, which then has halachas regarding Ma'isab Hema and regarding the Kalban, the little additional that has to be added when giving the Machzah Shekel every year for the Karbanas. Now, there was machlekes in the Gemara, what type of division would separate that from being a Yerusha and then consider them like lekuchas, like consumers, and then becoming back partners again? One opinion said that's only if they separate with a shuma, which is with value, but it's not the same items. But if it's the same items, gedoyim connected gedoyim, tiyashim connected tiyashim, then that would be considered like they never separated and it'd still be like it was the father's estate. Whereas the other opinion said, no, that even if they separate Gedoyim Gedoyim, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, still we say, Ein Breira, there's no retroactive clarification that was the Gedi that you were supposed to get, and therefore you consider like Lekuchas, whereas the other opinion said that, no, that we hold Yesh Breira. On that, the Gemara continues and asks Meisvei, for the following Mishnah Masechtas Temur and Perikol Yisurin, that the Mishnah says as follows, V'chein hashutofen shechalku, also regarding partners, when they divide something, Echad notel asara, one of them took 10 animals. The echad notel tishav kelim. The other partner, he took 9 animals, and for the 10th one, he took a dog with them. So that says the Mishnah. So the 10 sheep, the 10 lambs, shekeneged hakelim, that are opposite the one that has 9 with the dog, are asurin. All those 10 animals are forbidden to be used as karbanas for the mizbeach. Why? Because one of them is the exchange of what the other partner got, which is the dog. That qualifies what's called Mechir Kelev, which is one of the prohibited types of things being brought as a carbon. If you got this sheep by exchanging it for a dog, that's forbidden. Now the thing is, we don't know which one of these 10 is the exchange of that 10th one, which by the other person was a dog. So therefore all these are going to be forbidden because of that doubt of being, or from that element of being considered Mechir Kelev. Whereas the other person, who he has only 9 sheep, Shem HaKelev, and with his 10th one was the dog, Sumitarim. So his sheep are all permitted because there's no prohibition. None of his sheep are exchanged for a dog, and therefore his would be permitted. The one with the 10 would be forbidden. On that as the Gemara, v'imramet yesh breira, if you hold like the other opinion that we said in the previous staff, which is the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, so then liver chad minai labahadi kelev. Why are we saying that the one with the 10 are all forbidden? What do you mean? Just select one of those 10 to correlate for that other one that has the dog. Velishkol, take out that 10th one. V'hanach lishteru. And then the other 9, with even the one that has 10 lambs, will be permitted because the old Yesh Breri hold, they could retroactively clarify that is the 10th one. Why are they all forbidden? So that Rav Ashi says, you're right. Either Shavakul HaDadi, if all the lambs were in equal value, where every one of those lambs that have the 9 are equal to the value of all those that have the 10, so it comes out that the 10th lamb would correlate to the value of that person who has the dog, then Nachanami, you're right. We would say that Yesh Brera, that there's retroactive clarification, and he would take one of his 10 lambs as Mechir Kelv, as the exchange for the dog, and eat it. And you're right, the other 9 would be permitted to be used as karbanas. But says Rav Ashi, what are we talking over here that we said in that Mishnah Temura that all the one of the 10 lambs are going to be forbidden? The Leishava Kula Dadi, because they're not of equal value, because the 9 lambs from the one who has 10 lambs are actually worth more than the one who has 9 lambs, who his 10th one is the dog. And therefore, actually, Veshavi HaKalba, so it comes out that the one who has his 10th one as a dog, that dog is worth Chad, the equivalent of the 10th one of the other one, Umashu, and a little bit more, because it has to supplement to equal the amount of the other one. So therefore comes out, v'hai mashu, that little bit, which we said that the 9 from the 10 has more than the 9 with the one with the dog. Therefore, that little bit that the dog's value is a little bit more than the other 10th one, that supplemental amount is mechir kelev, is exchanged for the dog, is mashach v'asi b'kulu. It extends into, to cover that differential, of the 9 that's opposite it from the one that has the 10. Because each one of them now is compensating for that difference of the division and the entirety of that, besides the entirety of that 10th one. whereas actually Rashi brings from his teacher a text that was, explains this case. For example, if let's say each one of the one that has 10 lambs, each one of those lambs was worth 4 zuz and a half of a fifth, which is 4 zuz and 1/10. Now, the one who has the dog is worth 5 zuz. Now, that extra zuz is going to extend through all those other 10 lambs, where the understanding is as follows. Where, well, as we said, each one of those that has the 10 lambs is going to be related because each one of them is, like we said, 4 zuz and a tenth. So it comes out that all the 10 together is going to be 41 zuz. Now, because 10 half of fifths makes 5 fifths, which is really essentially 1/10 over all the 10, which equals another zuz. So there's 40 plus 1, which is 41. Now the dog, as we're saying, is worth 5 zuz. So it comes out that the other 9 with him, the other 9 lambs with the dog, are only worth 36 zuz. And with the dog, that's 5, that makes for a total of also 41. So they split evenly. But now it comes out that the lambs that are with the dog are only worth each one only 4 zuz. Whereas we said the one who has the 10, each one of those is worth more. Those lambs are worth 4 zuz and a tenth. So it comes out that what's the equalizer here is the dog. So therefore, each one that's opposing is related to an exchange of the other one who has the dog. So it comes out that that half a fifth or that tenth, that each one of those sheep is worth more of the one that's 4 zuz, is exchanging something from that the dog has more than the ones on its own, and therefore each one of those other ones is mechir kelev. And that's why they're all going to be forbidden. But you're right, if there were equal amount, and then each sheep would be correlating to the other one's sheep, and the dog would be correlating just to the one of them, you're right, then we would say yes, brera, and actually one would be forbidden, but the other 9 would be permitted. And if it's not difficult, the man, the amma holds, yes, brera. Now the Gemara continues on the next Mishnah, continuing on a related vein of the previous Mishnah, which was speaking about exemptions in the laws of Ma'aseh Behemah. Now we speak about in the animal itself. So this is the Mishnah, kol nechnasin ledir lesaser. All types of animals go into the pen to be having the halacha Ma'aseh Behemah, which is the 10th animal taken out from it, that it would apply to it. Chutz min klaim, there are a few exceptions. One is a hybrid, it's a mixed breed. V'treifa, or has a moral defect. Over yitzadayfin, or if it comes out of the abdominal wall of the animal, meaning it's cesarean, umachosazman, or if it's not yet the time of being able to be brought as a carbon, so therefore you don't put into the pen either to be taking the mice of hema from it, vayasim, or if it's an orphan. As the Mishnah explains, vayzeu yasim, what does it mean, the animal that's an orphan? It's kol shemesi ima. If its mother died during childbirth, or shenishchet, or if it's slaughtered, and only ve'achkech yildan, then the child, this animal, is born. And the reasoning for all the halachas in the Mishnah will be explained in the Gemara, that these are exceptions, the halacha Ma'aseh Behemah do not apply to them. Now, Reb Shu'aimi disagrees regarding this last halacha. Says, Avila nishchata ima, vashel kaim, even if the mother was slaughtered, but its skin is still around, in zayasim, so then the animal, the child, will not be considered an orphan to be exempted from the laws of Ma'aseh Behemah, as the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning for his opinion. So the Gemara says, where do we know all these halachas of our Mishnah, that these types, these categories of animals are exempt from the laws of Ma'aseh Behemah? Says the Gemara, turn about and learn the Braisa, where the Pasuk says regarding all other kachem, all other karbanas. The Pasuk says, in the Yukach of Beis, Pasuk of Zion, so it says, Ashayr, Chesed, Ba'ez, if it's going to be ox or a lamb or a goat, Kival, if it will be born, Ba'yashibis Yom Tachazimai, for 7 days it will be underneath its mother, and from the 8th day on, you wrestle carbon Hashem, and then you can bring it as a carbon, a fire offering for Hashem. So the Braisa breaks apart all the different words of this Pasuk to tell us different halachas. When it says shoy oy chesev, an ox or a lamb, so the or is an exclusionary terminology. So prat leklaim, that's coming to exclude, like we said, a hybrid, which is, let's say, the father is a goat and the mother is a sheep, is a lamb. So then that child from that union is excluded from the halacha being brought as a carbon. Oy eis, when it says or a goat, so that's another exclusion. Prat l'nidma, that excludes if, let's say, the child appears like something else, where if its mother is a sheep and it appears like a goat, so that's excluded from being brought as a carbon. And the pasuk contains ki valid, if it will be born. Prat l'yitzadayfin, that excludes if it was cesarean, it came through the stomach, the animal's stomach, and not through the birth canal. So it's not considered birth. Vayishivis yam, and the animal is 7 days. Pratamukhazman. That excludes if it hasn't yet reached the time of 7 days. If it's less than that, then it can't be brought as a carbon. When it says tachasimai beneath its mother, that's pratliyas, and that excludes if it was orphaned, then it's not tachasimai, that also cannot be brought as a carbon. Now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Noach Rabbi Yechim ben Berakhia, I mean, he says, and this relates to the halacha of our Mishnah now, says, Nemar Khan, it says over here by Maisa Behema, Tachas HaShevet, that the animal, the tenth animal goes beneath the stick, and that gets designated as the Maisa Behema. Now, Menem Alahalan says over there by Ol Kachim, it also says, as we just quoted in the Pasuk, the word Tachasimai. So we learn, Malahalan, just like over there by Ol Kachim, Prad L'chal HaShem HaSololo, as we just explained, we exclude all these different categories of Klayim, Nidma, Yitzadayfin, Mechuzizman, and Yasim from being brought as Karbanas. So, same thing is, Afkan, so to over here by Maisa, we'll say the same thing, Prad L'chal HaShem HaSololo, that we're going to exclude all these different categories, which that's the reasoning of the halachas of our Mishnah. Now, additionally, Ma Khan, the Gezer Shabbat works both ways. Just like over here, by Maiser Behema, Prat LaTrefa, the Trefa cannot be brought as a Maiser Behema because the Pasuk says in Rik Chabzayin, Kol HaShayavr, whatever will path beneath the stick, which excludes an animal that's a Trefa, where it can't walk past it. And the reason is because one of the types of 18 Trefa is the animal that its leg was cut above the knee, so it can't walk. And therefore, we see that definitely one of the Trefas, and therefore it won't fit into the category of Kol HaShayavr, excludes Trefa from Maisa Behema, Sa'af L'Halan Prat L'Trefa, so to over there for Ol Kachim, a Trefa is not going to be valid to be brought as a carbon. Now the Gemara asks, Hakol, this that it says in the Mishnah that Hakol Nechnasin, all types of animals go in to be tithe besides the ones that were mentioned. L'Suyimai, what's that coming to include when he's saying Ol? Says the Gemara, L'Suyi Hodetan Rabban, it's coming to include this that we learned in the following Braisa. Hereveya v'anirva, an animal that's sodomized or was sodomized, which means has relations with a person, or v'hamukta, or if it was separated and designated to be brought for idolatry, or v'haneved, if it actually was served as avodah zarah, for example, if let's say they poured libations between its horns, or v'esnan v'hamechir, or if it was switched for the services of a harlot, or for this, as we just mentioned before, in exchange for a dog, or if it's not clear the gender, or if it has both signs of genders, kula nechnasin ladir lasaser, all these types of animals could be brought into the pen to be a part of the process of ma'aseh behema. Now, Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Reb Shimon, he argues regarding the last two. He says tumta madregnis ain nechnasin ladir lasaser. No, they're not brought into the pen to be typed. Now, the Gemara wonders if Tana didan, Tana bar Mishnah that taught that when we're saying Hakol, we said it's coming to include this that we just learned in the Braisa, that all these types of categories are going to be having the Halacha Maaser Behema. So ask the Gemara as follows. Igamar, if he learns out Maaser Behema, Tachas Mikachim, as we mentioned before, that we compare to all other Karbanas, Sahani Nami Lai. So what do you mean? Then these that we just, as we brought in the Braisa, which is explaining like the Halacha of our Mishnah, all of these categories are invalid to be brought as Kachim. As the Braisa teaches in Masechta Tmurut of Chav Chesam et Alf, it says in the Pasuk Min HaBehema, from the animal, which is exclusionary terminology, from, which excludes Reveya and Nirva, which as Rashi explains, it has to be told by where there's only one witness, not two, because if there's two witnesses, it not only would it not be brought as a carbon, it actually would be killed, where it says Vesa Behema Teroiku, but talking about one witness, so you're not going to kill the animal, but it can't be brought as a carbon. When it says Min HaBakar, from the cattle, so it excludes if it was worshipped. Minatzayim, from the sheep, excludes if it was just muktzah, set aside. So then, why are these things included in Ma'aseh Behema? Now, v'ilo yolof, and if the Tana of Mishnah doesn't learn out the Gezeirah Shava from Kachim, all these other categories, which the Tana does exclude, like Mechus Zman and Yasim, Minalei, where does he know that they're not have the Halacha Ma'aseh Behema? It says Gemara Leilim Gomer, the Tana of Mishnah does learn out Tachas from Kachim. But Vahani, but these that we mentioned, the Brice of Reveya and Nirva and all those other ones, Rahman and Rabinu, the Torah includes them that they will have the halacha of Maaseh Behema, where, although obviously you're not going to bring it as a carbon, which generally is the halacha with an unblemished Maaseh Behema, because we said it doesn't qualify to be brought on the Mizbeach, but they will have the halacha of Maaseh Behema to be eaten when they get it in their state of blemish for the owners. So like it says in the Pasuk in B'Yikra, how do we know that the Torah includes them for Maaseh Behema? Because the Pasuk says, Ki meshchasim behem, because their corruption is in them, mumbam, there's a blemish in them, lo yiratzu lechem, it will not be willingness for you to be bringing these types of animals as a carbon. Now, betan be Rabbi Shmuel, that kamakim shenema b'hashchasa, this Pasuk refers to the animal with corruption. So he says, whenever it says something that is corrupt, Ein ha'ilah devar erva v'avodah zarah. It's referring to immorality and idolatry. How do you know that? Devar erva d'chsev in Bereishis, when it talks about the Mabul, says, k'hich ch'chiz kol baster es dark el aretz, because all the flesh, they corrupted their paths on the earth, and we know by the Dar HaMabul, the generation of the flood, that they engaged in sexual immorality. Avodah zarah, how do you know hashchasa refers to idolatry? D'chsev, like it says the pasuk in Devarim. It says, Penta Shchisun, maybe you might be destructive. Vasisim lechem pestle temunas kol semel tabne zachar in the keva. You're going to make for yourself a graven image of any shape in the form of male or female. We see the terminology of corruption there in regarding Tavay Dezar. Now, we see, v'chol shamun poislamoy. So whatever type of animal that a blemish would invalidate it, so the var erva v'avay dezar poislamoy. So that's where immorality or idolatry will invalidate it, because the pasuk is equating the hashchasa to a blemish, because the pasuk says kimashchasim behem mumbam, because there's corruption in them, there's a blemish in them. So whenever a blemish is a problem, so then corruption is, which corruption means something related to arayis or avodazara. But v'chol she'inam mumpaislabay, but that would be the equivalent that. But if a blemish is not an invalidation in something, so in vareva avodazara paislabay, then also immorality and avodazara would not invalidate it. So therefore, it says the gemara v'hai meisa here regarding meisa behema. Since a blemish does not invalidate it, because the pasuk says of a yikra, it says regarding ma'aseh behemah, the Torah tells us we don't differentiate between if it's good or bad, which means if it's unblemished or blemished, and you're not going to exchange it. Whichever one comes at the 10th one is going to be ma'aseh behemah. So therefore, devar erva v'avodah zarah not malei possible. So therefore, relating to arayis avodah zarah is not going to be validation. And those are the categories we said are included in that brisa that from the word of our mishnah of hakol nechnasin, because reveh v'nirva, sodomized or was sodomized, that's Dvar Erva, that's relating to immorality. Muktzav Neva, designated or worship of Avodah Zarah, that's Avodah Zarah. The Esnan is Dvar Erva, relating, getting something in exchange for harlot services, that's Arayis. Umechir Iskish L'Esnan, and the Pasuk equates the exchange for a dog to the exchange of a harlot, so therefore it has that same halacha. And Tum Devan Dragon is regarding those two, is Kesav Resveikuhu, because the Tanav Mishnah held that that's a doubt what the gender is when something is a tumtum andragonus, if it's male or female. But either way, ma'aseh behemah applies to both male and female. So therefore, that will also qualify for the halacha ma'aseh behemah. That's why those are included in the halacha ma'aseh behemah, even though they're not valid for karbanos. Now, the Brayis had said that Mishum ben Yehuda Emer, he said that no, tumtum andragonus are not nechnas ladil asasar. Why? Because, yeah, ksav is fekehu. He also holds that, you're right, tumtum andragonus are a doubt, but mi rachmoni gabi kadishan. The Torah excludes, for the laws of Karbanis, of Kachim, something that is a Tumdum Andragonus. Why? Because Zachar Vadei Unikeva Vadeis. The Torah requires a definitive male or definitive female. But V'loi Tumdum Andragonus, but not Tumdum Andragonus. And Maisa Nami Gomer Tachas, Tachas Mekachim, like we said before, and Maisa Mehem has learned that Xerish Shava from Kachim, where of Tachas Tachas, which either Rashi had a different gear, so, or this is actually an explanation, where because he held that it's not either one or the other. It's neither. It's its own creature. And therefore, that's not going to qualify for Kachim, and hence also from the Gzeir Shava, also for the laws of Ma'aseh Behemah. Now, continuing on these halachas, turn about and learn the Braisa, Hakol Nechnasin Ladir L'Sasr. Like the wording of our Mishnah, all types of animals go into the pen for the to be typed. Chutzim Naklayim, Batrefa, besides if it's a hybrid or if it has a mortal defect, that's the Reb Lozer, Reb Yehuda Ish Kfar Bar Taisa, Shamer Bishua, which he said this in the name of Bishua. Now, Amr Rabbi Kiva says, Anisha Matim, and he says, I heard from Rabbi Shua that not only are those two excluded, which is like we learned in the Mishnah, that included in the exemption is if it's born through Caesarean, if it's not yet 8 days old, and if it's orphaned. Now, the Gemara wonders, but Tanakama, the first opinion in the name of Rabbi Shua, how do we understand his limited halacha? And that is Igamar Tachas Tachas Mekachim, if he has this Gezerah Shavah learning on Ma'aseh Behemah from Kachim, Sahane Namiloi. So then, why doesn't he exclude also Yetzidayf and Mechuz Zman and Yasim, which, if you're learning from Kachim, are also excluded from the laws of Kachim? And V'iloi Gamar, and if he doesn't have this Gezerah Shavah, so Bishle Mitrefa, so we're going to understand one of the two that he included, that it's exempted, that if it has a mortal defect, because that's actually the source of even other Kachim, like we said, if you learn Tachas Tachas, where it says, Kol Asheyav, Tachas Hashevet, Ksev, it says in the Pasuk, whatever animal will go beneath the stick, the 10th one will be Ma'aseh Behemah. That's Prat L'Trefa, Shein Ever, so that excludes an animal with it that's a trefa, which again, as we said, one of the 18 trefas, if the knee is cut, if the foot is cut above the knee where it can't walk, so that's going to be excluded from the law of Ma'aseh Behemah. But El Kalayim and all that, but where would he know that a hybrid animal is excluded from the laws of Ma'aseh Behemah? Says Gemara, you're right, Loilum Gama. Really, he learns that Tachas Tachas from Kadshim, and that's why he knows that not only is Trefa, but also Klaim is excluded from the laws of Ma'aseh Behema, just like it's excluded by Kadshim. But all those other ones that he disagrees with, Rabbi Kiva's version of Rabbi Yeshua, and says, no, they are included in the laws of Ma'aseh Behema, even though they're excluded from Kadshim, is for the following reasons. Ubiyaitza Daifin, regarding when it's born through Caesarean as a Ketintam at Beis, is Sabala Krib Shimon, is because Rabbi Yeshua, according to the version of the Tanakhama, holds like Krib Shimon. Dama Yaitza Daifin Vlad Ma'alyu, that he holds that an animal born through Caesarean is considered a bona fide birth, as the Gemara brings in Mesechtas Nida Daf Mem Amud Alav. Rabbi Shimon says that Caesarean is like a birth, and therefore the mother will have the tumma of childbirth. And Rish Lakish explains over there in the Gemara, because the word teled is an extra word, to include, even if it's born, not through the regular vaginal birth, but even through Caesarean. So here also, when they use the word kiyiv valid, that's also going to include Yaitze Daifin, which would delay Krib Yechanan. This interpretation is obviously not like Rabbi Yechanan, who he explains over there in Masechtas Nida, that he says no, that Rabbi Shimon agrees, although this is what he's saying regarding a woman in Tumas Leda, he agrees regarding Kachin that it does not become sanctified if it's born through Caesarean, because he says Rabbi Shimon learns Gezeira Shava, birth and birth from the laws of Bechair, which by Bechair obviously has to be vaginal birth because it needs to be Rechem, it's Petar Rechem, it's the first one coming out of the womb. So that's what our Gemara is saying, that no, this version of Rabbi Yeshua is not like Rabbi Yechanan, rather like that interpretation of Rabbi Shimon that says that, yeah, Caesarean is considered a valid birth. Therefore, that's not going to be excluded from the laws of Kachim and hence from the laws of Ma'aseh Behem. Additionally, B'mochus Zman, that we said that according to this version of Rabbi Yeshua, it is going to be valid for Ma'aseh Behem, is because Savala Krib Shimon ben Yehuda, which, as we had explained in Daf Chafal from Abayz, that he says that actually, even before its time, it is Nechnes Ladir L'Sasa, just like we find by Bechar, where its Kedusha is Kaidim Zmanu, although its Hakrab is on Lachar Zmanu, so to held Ma'aseh Behema, it could be Nechnes Ladir, even Kaidim Zmanu. Yosim, this first version of Rabbi Yeshua holds that an orphan is actually also Nechnes Ladir L'Sasa, is Kugayin Shashalach Kaim, where although yes, it's orphaned, but the mother's skin is still around. Rabbi Shula Tamei, and this first version of Rabbi Shula is like actually Rabbi Shula says in our Mishnah, Dama, that he says, even if the mother slaughtered and it's dead, so the baby is orphaned, but its skin is still intact, then the child, the baby is not considered orphaned. Now, actually, related to this halacha, the Gemara brings a Hey Rabbi Shmuel ben Sasriel Ma'arkas Levena Lefnei Rabbi. He said, Bim Kremenu, in our place, which is that when the animal dies because of childbirth, mafshitin es hamesa, we skin the dead mother animal, umabishin es achai, and we clothe the child in the skin of the mother so that it should warm itself up and get healthy from the mother's skin, as if the mother was alive, as if it's getting that nurturing from the mother. So Amar Rabbi says, on the scale of time of Mishnah Seinu, now we have the understanding of the reasoning of the halacha in our Mishnah, that most definitely that's the reason why Rabbi Yeshua had said that im hashelach kaim, if the skin is still intact, then the child's not considered an orphan, because it's almost like as if the mother's still alive, because it's getting the nurturance from the mother's skin, and that's the reason why he holds that that's not going to be an exemption from the law of Yasim. Now, additionally, this person testified in front of Rabbi, that the lettuce, like the word chazeres, in our place, yeshlem shishim ribi kalafim, it has 600,000 folds in the leaves, beveis hemstis shaloi. In the base, literally means to say that it's one of the stomachs of an animal, which, because it's comparing it to just like the flesh of an animal inside that stomach has all these different folds. So he's saying that our lettuces have so many folds inside of it, it's fold upon fold inside of it. Additionally, he testified that Pamachas Nafal Erezach Shem Kamenu, one time a cedar tree fell in our place, V'avru Shesh Esri Kroinis Al Chudei Achas, and 16 wagons were able to go side by side on its thickness, that as it fell, which even though as it fell, it was actually it was so thick that you could have 16 wagons going, but what he was saying that flattened it into slats, into planks, then they would have been even wider. You could even have had more wagons going side by side. Additionally, he said, Pamachas Nafla Beyaz Bar Yochani. One time, this egg of this large bird called Bar Yochani fell. V'tava Shishim Krachim. And it sank 60 cities with the white and the yellow of the egg that just drowned these 60 cities. V'shava Shalish Meis Arazim. And it broke 300 cedar trees. Now the Gemara wonders, Mishadile, does this bird throw down its egg to be destroyed, which then cause wreaked such havoc? But Vaksiv, the Pasuk says in Eiv, Knaf renonim na losa, the wing of this bird renonim is na losa. What's nalasa? So the Gemara Masechta Menachos expounds the word nalasa as nutrikin, as an acronym, noisei oila, that umischata, meaning it carries its young, and the mischata is that it comes down softly, which that's what this pasuk in Eve was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, he says, what do you mean? Didn't I create these wings that were so awesome for this bird Yechani, where it has so much power that it could carry such a large egg on its wings and carry it all the way up and then bring it down very softly into the nest? But one thing we see is that it actually does it, like the word mischate, that it brings it down very softly and that it doesn't just throw it down. So how could this story have happened? So Rav Ashi says, Ahu, that egg that did fall and created such destruction, muzar tahavi, was an unfertilized egg where there was no chick growing inside of it, so therefore the mother bird had no need for it, and therefore threw it down, and therefore caused such destruction. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, Shalish granus lamaisa behema. Continuing these halachas, there's three, literally, granary or threshing houses for the laws of maisa behema. What it means to say is, comparing it to the laws of maisa dagon, where that's with threshing houses, here regarding the laws of Ma'isa Behema, three times in the year the animals become taif, and the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this, which are the praise ha-Pesach. Praise means half, which is half of the 30 days that we before Pesach that we start discussing its laws, which the Gemara is going to explain is 15 days before Pesach, which is the last day of Adar, and the praise ha-Teres, which is 15 days before Shavuos, and the praise ha-Chag, and 15 days before the Yom Tov of Sukkot, which is the last day of El, as the Mishnah says, V'hein Grun Ishal Ma'isa Behema, these are the times of the tithing of Ma'isa Behema, which are three times a year. That's the Rebbe Kiva. So the new animals that you have, you go and you take it and you put it into the pen, and the 10th one is taken as Ma'isa Behema. Now, Benazi Yomer, he says different times. He says, Be'esim B'tish Ba'adah. No, the one of them is the 29th of Adar, which you can explain what are they disagreeing about. It seems like they're both saying it's the last day of Adar. And also the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning for their opinions. And Be'echad ben Sivan, the first of Sivan. And Be'esem Tisha B'Av and the 29th of Av. So they're all similar timing, but different exact dates. Which is by the Shalish Regalim, but he's saying different than Rabbi Kiva. Third opinion, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, they say Be'echad ben Nisan, the first of Nisan, which is actually only 14 days before Pesach. Be'echad b'Sivan and b'Chavtes be'El and the 29th of El. Now, v'lama omer be'esem etisha be'El. Why they say it's on the 29th of El, which is 15 days before Sukkot? V'lama be'echad b'Tishrei, which would have been the same equivalent as before Pesach, which is 14 days, which is the first of Nisan. Why over here don't they say here the first of Tishrei also, which would be 14 days? Instead, they say it's 15 days by making the 29th of El. Says the Mishnah Nishu Yomtiv, because the first of Tishrei is Yomtiv Rosh Hashanah, V'yef Shala Asa B'Yomtiv, and one cannot go ahead and do the Ma'isa Behema on Yomtiv, which must explain the reason what's the halachic problem about taking Ma'isa Behema on Rosh Hashanah, which also explains all the halachas of the Mishnah. L'fikach hikti muhu be'esem Tisha B'El, therefore they made it a day earlier to be on the 29th of El. Now, continuing a related halacha regarding not the times of when we do the actual tithing, which are three times a year, but regarding the halacha of what's considered the Rosh Hashanah, the new year for Ma'isa Behema, which, as we said in the previous daf, there's Chadash and Yashem, one cannot tithe from one year on the other Ma'isa Behema, as we find by Ma'isa Dagan. So regarding that halacha, Rav Meir Emi says, Be'echad Be'el, the first day of El, is Rosh Hashanah L'Ma'isa Behema, is the new year for the tithing of the animal, which is those that were born before this point cannot be brought into the pen to be tithed with those which are born from this point onwards, because that's like we said, Chadash and Yashin, the new animals and the old animals. So that cutoff date is Rosh Hashanah. That's the first of El, is the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'isa Behema. Ben Nazaim, he says, Ha'alilim mis'asim ifnei atzman, the animals born in El, they get tithe by themselves because of doubt. What's his doubt? His doubt was those that are born in El, he says you can't tithe them not with those which are born in Tishrei and not with those that are born the month before in Av. Now, the Gemara is going to explain the reason is because he was in doubt. Is halacha like the opinion of Rameh that we just quoted that says that El begins the new year? Or is it like Reb Shimon, which is mentioned in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, that holds actually, no, it's the first of Tishrei, not the first of El. So therefore he wasn't sure, is this from last year, from this year? And therefore he held that they had to be tithed by themselves. Now the Mishnah continues, which this anonymous part of the Mishnah is like Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, which is that they say that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aseh Behema. So therefore, Kol HaNeilav the Me'echad B'Tishrei Ad Esem B'Tisha B'El, meaning going that whole cycle through the year, starting from the first of Tishrei till the 29th of El. So Harei Elu Mitzdarfen. So they all combine all those animals from the whole year to be put into one pen. Now, but let's say Chamisha Lefnei Rosh Hashanah V'Chamisha La'achar Rosh Hashanah. Let's say five are born before Rosh Hashanah and five after Rosh Hashanah. So then Ein Mitzdarfen. Then they don't combine, which is unnecessary because we just said that that's Rosh Hashanah. But since the Mishnah wants to say the next halacha regarding the cutoff dates for the Gairin, which are times of taking Ma'aseh Behema, which are three times in that Ma'aseh Behema year, so it says this halacha too. Because in contrast, the next halacha, Chamish Lefnei HaGairin, Chamish La'ach HaGairin, which are said is three times during the year, let's say you have five that were born before the time of the Gairin, and five after, they're Harei Elu Mitzdarfen. There they do combine, because ultimately it's still in the same calendrical year of Ma'aseh Behema. So then ask the Mishnah, then why did they say there's these three dates of Ma'aseh Behema if you're saying it doesn't really make a difference if it's born before or after? No, there is a difference. You could join them in the same pen for Ma'aseh Behema, but however, has relevancy, which is because if it didn't yet reach the time of the Gairin, of doing the law of Ma'aseh Behema, so before that date, it's permitted to slaughter and to sell the animals even without having done Ma'aseh Behema. But once it reaches that date, which is three times in the year, which the Gemara will explain why those times and why this halacha, then lo yishchet. Then one shouldn't slaughter the animals, because rabbinically then we say there is a halacha of tevel that the animals are untithed until you go ahead and do Ma'aseh Behema. But does say the Mishnah of imshachat pater. But if one did slaughter, even though the date of the garden had come without doing Ma'aseh Behema, he's still exempt, because we don't find anywhere that there's a biblical halacha of tevel regarding Ma'aseh Behema, not a death penalty, not even negative prohibition, therefore one would be exempt. But that's what halacha comes to say, that once the date comes, one shouldn't go ahead and slaughter or sell the animal until he goes and does the halacha of Ma'aseh Behema.